Hi, this is Linda Rex. I'm bringing a sermon, Receiving the Things of Jesus. This is for June 12th, 2022. And this is Holy Trinity Sunday. And on our life in the Trinity, I'd like to start with John 16, 12 to 15. I'll read that in the New American Standard Bible. We'll have a brief prayer, and then we'll talk about our subject. We'll have communion together, and we'll end with a benediction, just so you get an idea how we're going to do this. So, beginning in John 16, 12 to 15, this is what was written there. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all His truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for including us in your life, making us your very own children, through Jesus and in the Spirit. As we come to the Word of God today and we listen to what you have to say to us, we pray that by your Spirit you would awaken us to greater faith, greater understanding of who you are, who we are in you, and what our life is all about. And we thank you for doing all these things for Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, we have been working our way through the Christian calendar here. And we began in December with the time of Advent, the preparation for the coming of Jesus into this world. And we celebrate on Christmas Day that He is born, laid in a manger. This is this baby brought into this world by Mary and Joseph, and as a gift from God, God comes, and He's born as a baby. And then we go through the time of Epiphany, where we realize this is God in human flesh. This is the Messiah. He's come to save us. He's baptized for all humanity. He's goes into the wilderness, and we celebrate in the time of Lent, this time of challenge, as He fights the evil one and the things of Satan, and He comes out triumphant. Goes then through His life on this earth, living our life, and He comes to the time of Holy Week, which we celebrate His triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, His time of special caring and celebration on Maundy Thursday, where He has the Last Supper with His disciples, and then He's betrayed, and Good Friday He's crucified, and then Holy Saturday He lays in the tomb. Then we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, or Easter, where He's risen from the dead. And then most recently, we celebrated, after He spends some time with His disciples teaching them, He ascends to His Father's right hand, carrying our humanity with Him. All of humanity has been swept up into relationship with God. And then He sends the Holy Spirit. We celebrated this last week on Pentecost, that He sent the Spirit so that we all get to participate in Christ's intimate relationship with the Father in the Spirit. And now we see on this Sunday, Holy Trinity, we're going to ponder about the reality of what Jesus has revealed to us, that He reigns supreme as the perfect human, having lived our life, died our death, and risen. He bears our humanity now forever in the presence of God. He reigns supreme over evil, sin, and death. They have lost their power over us. They cannot hold us fast any longer. We've been set free in Christ, and we are held in Christ in the midst of the union, communion of the Father, Son, and Spirit. We're included in their life. What we discover is that because of Christ, we now, everything we do has meaning and value and worth, because we're participating in that life that he has with the Father and the Spirit. So what does it mean, though, that now that God is present now in us and with us by the Holy Spirit, what is the benefit of that? Is that a big deal? Why is that important? Well, we begin with the understanding of what Jesus revealed to us about the Holy Spirit. When you read the Bible, you find that even in the beginning, when God created all things, the Spirit was present, hovering over the waters. And when God, the Father, chose to create, we see he spoke, the Word spoke, and all things, the Spirit brought all things into existence. So the Father, Son, and Spirit are essential to creation. God made all things through Jesus in the Spirit. We read this elsewhere in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit was present then. We see the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament, speaking, acting, doing things, interacting, bringing to pass what the will of the Father through the Son is. So, but Jesus, when he comes, reveals the Spirit in a new way. He shows us and teaches us the Spirit is a person. The Spirit, and we read from the experience of the different disciples and so on, apostles, in the book of Acts, and how he interacted with the early church, in the epistles, how he was understood by Paul and Peter and John and so on, that the Holy Spirit makes decisions. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be insulted. He is a person. We used to believe, or I used to believe, that he was a thing or a power or an essence. But and that's the way a lot of times we treat the Spirit. But, you know, the Spirit is the breath, the presence, the essence of God. But the Spirit is a person. In the Old Testament, Ruach was feminine. New Testament, neuter. And Jesus often called him he. So, you know, God doesn't have a gender. God is. And the Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit makes them our very own, because he comes to live in us, and because he lives in us, Jesus and the Father live in us. So we begin to participate in the divine life and love. And so what God asks for us to do is to turn away from our false concepts of ourselves and God, and to turn to Christ, because he is the express image of God. He's the truth about God. He's the truth about who we are as human beings. He is the perfect human, and he is the truth of our existence. So we turn to Christ. We trust in his perfect work, in all he has done, not in ourselves. Our human story as human beings began in God's heart. God is a God who is love. What we're learning about today is who God is. Who is God? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is who he was revealed to us as being by Jesus. Jesus revealed him as the Father, and then he revealed him as the Spirit. And then he said, I am, speaking of himself as being God in human flesh, fully God, fully human. So we find that our story as human beings began in God's heart long before anything was created. And the scripture says that that it was always in God's heart to include human beings in his life. He is a creator. He created, but he wanted a relationship with those he created. And so he created us for a relationship with him and one another. That was God's heart, his heart of love. Because why? Because he always lived in loving relationship as Father, Son, and Spirit. That's the truth of our way of being. Our way of being is to we were made in the image of God to reflect his likeness, the likeness of a God who's three equal persons yet uniquely related to one another. God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, is, and they live together in this paracritic love, this pouring out and taking in, making room for one another. There's different ways of saying it, but there's the way that they always make room for each other. They always pour into each other and receive from one another. And this is the way what we were created to live in the middle of and to reflect. That's the truth of our being. When we don't live that way with God or each other, then we create for ourselves the hell that so often we live in. The thing is that God created us in such a way that he honors our personhood. He does not invade our space. The evil one is always trying to steal our personhood away, try to make slaves of us in some way. And when you find yourself headed toward the direction of slavery of some kind, you can know the root of it is not God. God is not that kind of person or people or being. Let's put it that way. God is not that kind of being. And he honors our personhood. He respects our right to say no, our ability to say no. He loves us so much. He wants us to freely choose a relationship with him. So God knew what was going to be needed for us to live in relationship with him. He knew our capacity to turn away from him, to reject him, to ignore him. And so on his side, what he did was he comes into our human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, lives that holy, beautiful life of relationship with the Father and the Spirit the whole time he's on earth. He's willing to allow us to reject him, to turn against him, to abuse and crucify him. Jesus allowed us to do that. He permitted that. And he let us, if you read the Gospels, we, the people, humans, were the ones who crucified Jesus. It wasn't the Father. It was us. We crucified him. But he took that and turned it into our salvation, turned it into a way by which God, in Christ, by the Spirit, united humanity with himself forever. So we find Jesus before he left at the crucifixion. He talked about leaving the Spirit with us. He was going to ask the Father when he returned to his Father's side. He was going to ask the Father to send the Spirit. And he spoke of the Spirit as being another helper. Another helper. That's interesting language, because when you read the Old Testament, who is the helper or the helper of Israel? It is Yahweh. It is God himself. The I Am is the helper of Israel. And he's the helper of all of us as human beings. So when Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper, who is he speaking of? God. So the Spirit is God, just like Jesus is God, and the Father is God. And when you look at Jesus, the scripture says, you see the Father, because he is the exact image, exact replica of the Father. So when we look at Jesus, we see the Father. And when we look at the Spirit, we see what? Jesus, we see the Father. You see the oneness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there. Three persons in one being, each equal, of the same essence, united, always forever united, in loving relationship with one another, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in Christ, we find and discover ourselves as human beings being swept up in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, swept up into the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Because as Paul says, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Jesus said when he spoke, it was the words of the Father. You know, he only said what he heard his Father say. The Spirit in us, given to us from Jesus, from the Father, poured into our hearts, speaks what he hears Jesus say. He speaks Jesus' words into our hearts. So we can listen to and hear God speaking to our hearts and our minds. Not only just through the scriptures, but by the Spirit, the still small voice. Elijah spoke about that when he was in the wilderness and he was depressed and he's sad and like, nobody follows you but me, you know, God. But God came and there was a big earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake. There was a big wind. He wasn't in the wind. There was a great fire, but he wasn't in the fire. What he was in was the still small voice. Still small voice. And the Spirit still speaks to us today in our hearts and minds as we're open to him. And we don't need to be afraid of him because he guards and protects our personhood, our ability to tell him no. So the Spirit in us speaks Jesus' words in us. We walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, because of Christ in us. Christ in us by the Spirit enables us to walk in the truth of who we are as God's children, enables us to walk in loving relationship with God and each other. We can walk in the truth of who we are. We are created to live in kindness, compassion, understanding, wisdom, caring, respect, responsibility, all of those things that make a meaningful human life are found in who God is. And he shares that with us through Jesus in the Spirit. He puts that in our hearts and minds. The Spirit leads us into all truth, all that we need to know about who Jesus is, who the God of truth is, who the Spirit of truth is, and who Jesus as the truth is. The Spirit leads us to understand and know the truth of who God is, who we are, and what it is we're supposed to be doing in our lives. The Spirit places Christ's own heart and mind in us, giving us the desire to do good and holy and right things. We lose our fascination with the things of this world when we're focused on Christ. The Spirit places Christ's heart in us, places a desire to be loving and kind and caring. That comes from God's heart. To take good care of the earth around us, to be kind to animals. That comes from God's heart. That's God's heart placed in us by the Holy Spirit. A desire to care for our family, to be good to our children or our spouse. That comes from God's Spirit in us, through us. That is God's heart placed in us. So a lot of times we're participating in God's life and we just don't even realize what we're doing to participate. Even the things we do in our everyday life, in our work, you know, protecting people, working to help people get well, working to make sure they have food to eat or to be able to buy their groceries at the store. The everyday things of life become sacred and beautiful because Christ lives in us and is living that life through us, and it has its source in God Himself. God's heart in us gives us a desire to love and care for others and to honor and obey Him. And the Spirit within us gives us an abhorrence or a hate for what is evil and hurtful and destructive. It gives us a desire to get rid of those things and remove those things from this earth when it is done in of course, according to the will and grace and love of God. Because God's way of getting rid of evil was how He allowed Himself to be crucified. We don't always take that method when we try to get rid of evil. We usually try to destroy that instead of saying, how can I be a part of the solution, even if it means self-sacrifice? That's a good question. Hard questions. The Spirit within us that Jesus has given, having come and live our life, died our death and risen again, and sent that Spirit He has sent, who lives within us, gives us a desire to make this world a better place, to change it for the better, to make our life matter. And it's not like we have to go perform some great heroic deed. Rather, living in relationship with God, opening ourselves to the work of the Spirit, receiving the life Christ has forged for us, listening to His will and asking Him, what would you have me do? You know, you are God. I'm not God. You are God. What would you have me do this day? What would you have me do with my life? What would you have me do with my time? How do you want me to handle this relationship? When we begin to slow down and every part of our life then becomes a participation in God's life, when we begin to live it in relationship with Him and in relationship with others, and begin to realize that all of life has to do with this thing of a loving God and loving others. That's who we are. That's why we exist. And it gives a new meaning to our life. On this Holy Trinity Sunday, we have stopped to ponder and think about the glory of the God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, and how God has included us in His life and love, how He has made us His very own children. You are His child. You are His precious, adored, beloved child, and He wants to share life with you now and forever. And He's done what is needed in Christ so that can be true. You don't ever have to live alone. God has come, and He has made you His own, and He lives in you if you will only ask Him. Christ, are you here? Are you in me right now? Do you live in me? Do you love me, Father? If you ask those questions and are quiet for a while, you may be surprised to discover the still small voice of God's Spirit speaking words of life into your heart. As we come to the table, this is an opportunity for us to remember it is Christ's life, not our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for loving us so much. And thank you, Jesus, for all you have done for us. And thank you, Spirit, for coming to dwell in our hearts and making Christ real to us, for awakening us to the Father's love. Enable us to listen and to hear your voice, and to be obedient, to not insult you, to not reject you, to not quench you, to not silence you, but rather to surrender ourselves to you and to your will and purposes, to live in obedience to Jesus and the Father. We thank you, Heavenly Spirit, for making Christ real to us. In Jesus' heavenly name, we pray. Amen. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, broke bread and offered it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." The truth is, Spirit leads us into all truth, right? The truth is, it's Christ's body for your body. And he's brought us into the body of Christ, which is all of us joined together by the Spirit into the kingdom of God, the oneness of the body of Christ. Different members, uniquely themselves, brought together into one body by the Spirit. That's what God does. Jesus, we thank you for your body. And Jesus offered a cup of wine, and he blessed it. He said, "Drink this. This is my blood shed for you." And the blood in the Old Testament, the life was in the blood. And Jesus offered his life for us, pouring it out for us, and calls us in the same way to pour out our life for one another as an expression of our love for God. Just as Jesus poured his life out for us as an expression of God's love for us. Thank you, Jesus, your life for our life. As you receive God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, may you live in triumph over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope you have a great week. I'd love to see you back here again next week.